T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
News Radio 1120 KMOX.
I heard you missed us. We're back. Yeah.
This is Overtime.
Are you ready?
You guys ready?
All right, start me up. It's 8:33 and time for the Thursday edition of Overtime. And joining us here in Studio B is Charlie Brennan of The Charlie Brennan Show.
Good morning, Debbie.
And Mike Claiborne.
How are you?
Good.
It's nice to see you.
Welcome to Overtime.
This is unusual for me. I hear it, but I've never been part of
it. Well, here you are.
I had to get
no
up and
pressure.
Get dressed and all that sort of stuff.
All right, let's start with kind of a serious one here. Jamal Khashoggi. I've heard many different pronunciations. It's Khashoggi, Khashoggi, but you know who we're talking
about. We
know
the cat, yeah.
Yes. The details have kind of been trickling in of killing and dismemberment at the hands of Saudi operatives. And it sounded calls around the globe for immediate retaliation to this human rights atrocity. There is supposed to be a big finance meeting taking place in Saudi Arabia, and people are pulling out, like the head of the IMF and others. But President Trump has repeatedly reached for reasons to protect the U.S.-Saudi relationship, according to administration officials and presidential advisors. Is this the right thing, Charlie Brennan?
Well, let's look at this. It happened 16 days ago in Turkey involving Saudis. Why the United States is at the center of it, I don't know. More than, let's say, China, Germany, France, UK, whatever. It's a murder, and it should be treated like a homicide. You know, the perpetrator should be brought to justice, and whatever that means. Probably in Saudi Arabia, it's the death penalty. And you really can't say what the United States should do until you have some facts. We don't know exactly who was involved. We got a recording. Turkey has produced it. I haven't heard it. You haven't heard it. I don't think our authorities have heard it yet. And so was Mohammed bin Salman responsible, or his dad King Salman? I don't know. How do you come to judgment until you have answers to questions like that? I realize that there are some businesses, Ford and IBM, others, who have pulled out of a conference. They're doing that for public relations purposes. But as a country, how do you act until you know exactly what happened?
You know, when you use the word human rights, I mean, this is a country in Saudi Arabia that probably skirts that as much as any country in the world. And they do things differently. Prairie justice is how they deal with things. And you have to figure out, where does the United States actually have a say-so in how another country conducts business? Now, the issue I think really brings it to the head is, this guy was living in the United States, and he was a member of the media. The media always, well, in a lot of cases, feels like it's been open season on them all around the world. If nothing's done, then who's to say that other countries and other individuals may not take further action against people who disagree with them?
All right. But when you say, why is the United States at the center of it? I mean, the Secretary of State is meeting with the prince, smiling for the cameras yesterday. So we are front and center when
that's members of the administration.
But why is the homicide on our lap?
Well, because the guy's last address was in the United States.
Well, he wrote columns for the Washington Post. That's right.
But I think that had something to do with it.
So, you know, a couple days ago, a guy was found dead, homicide, up on North Skinker near the WashU North Campus there. And that life means a lot less than this life. I mean, it's kind of funny how the media does pick and choose which are the celebs.
But if it was alleged that a prominent politician or, say, the president were responsible for killing that person, wouldn't that ramp it up?
Well, at least that would be in our country. This didn't even happen in the United States involving a U.S. citizen. Now, it's a horrific crime. The guy was dismembered, and apparently the butcher who dismembered him said, hey, play some music so you don't have to hear it. I guess they had buzzsaws or something. So, you know, it's just terrible. But what are you going to do about it? I mean, obviously, those who murdered him should be go to jail for the rest of their lives or death penalty.
However they deal with the crime there. But how do you deal with the crime? Is it a crime that the Turks prosecute because it happened on their soil? It happened to a guy who was a Saudi from another country. I think you have so many different angles to go, but I thought the most amusing thing yesterday, because the United States really doesn't want Saudi Arabia to be involved in this, and Pompeo was talking to the prince, it was almost like, hey, you guys really didn't kill anybody, did you? With that little smirk about them, because they don't want to be involved, but they don't have a choice now, because everybody's looking at them saying, well, what are you going to do?
How about FDR? He entered into a major pact with Stalin in 1933, knowing Stalin's pogroms had killed millions. All right, now, we have a monument to FDR in Washington, D.C. That's great and all that. You know, it's kind of funny how we pick and choose which deaths are really important for human rights.
Overtime continues.
If you'd like to celebrate, I'd be okay with that.
On KMOX.
Love it!
It's 8:42. Welcome to round two of Overtime. I'm Debbie Monterey, along with Charlie Brennan and Mike Claiborne. All right, we have a rash of viral videos out there of white women calling the police on black men, or black people in general, who are not necessarily doing anything wrong. And the latest one was here in St. Louis that went viral. She hasn't gotten a hashtag yet, as far as I know. So I'm hashtagging her. Oh, have you? Mike's seen a few. Hallway Hillary, I'm calling her. So if you haven't seen the video, it's everywhere. So this man's trying to get into his building downtown, and this woman won't let him in. She's blocking his way. She follows him into the elevator, down a long hallway, up to his front door, as he opens the door with his key, and she's still standing there as he closes the door. She has since been fired from her job. However, she says she is not racist. She was just trying to prevent someone she thought was not a tenant from entering the building. Mike Claiborne, is she a well-meaning, cautious tenant or a racist busybody?
Somewhere in between. I used to live in that building, so I had the same encounter with her.
You're kidding.
Yes.
This is news, folks.
Yeah, and it was going to go there. I mean, because she was giving me the 20 questions. I got two dogs in my hands. I'm trying to get in the building, and she wanted to know, well, what are you doing here and what floor are you on? And it got contentious. All right. Fortunately, she was with her significant or whomever who kind of calmed it down. So I wasn't shocked. When I first saw it, I said, wait a minute, I know her. And then I saw the dog, because she had this little dog. Mm-hmm. And I knew her, and it reminded me of my encounter with her. There, I understand why some people feel like she did the right thing. If you're not sure, don't let them in. But if you're not going to let them in and they show that they can get in, then you apologize and say, hey, I'm sorry I didn't let you in, and here's why. Because we want to make sure the building is safe. I don't open the door for people I don't know. She didn't do that. She wanted to be the sergeant at arms, and I think that's what got her in trouble. And this guy didn't know her, and she didn't go out of her way to try and find out more. So, yeah, I had a problem with her. So as soon as I saw it, I kind of chuckled, and I'm amazed that she hasn't had something else happen to her before now.
Did she call the police on you like she called the police on this guy?
I was told by someone that she was going to. So it was one of those situations that she saw me a little bit more, because her parking spot, when you come out of the other, I knew where her parking spot was, and I think she saw me more, but I had nothing to say to her, because that one exchange, let's put it this way, had she been a guy, I would have handled it completely differently.
Wow.
Period.
Well, now, the guy in the video kept his cool. I don't know if I could have.
I tipped my cap to him, because if that were me, I would have handled it differently.
So
there's no question.
Did she have a reputation in the building?
No, I didn't know her.
I don't know. Did you talk to others? And
no,
so she kind of became known as the sergeant at arms, self-appointed.
One person had told me that they had heard she had kind of been a busybody.
Yeah.
And, you know, to some effect, I get it. But to the extreme that she takes it, I don't agree with it.
Well, the fact that she followed the guy to his apartment, he goes in and then she calls 911. So she was way over.
She crossed the line, there's no doubt.
But when you saw her, did you say, hey, I'm Mike Claiborne in room 19-5?
No, I didn't. I said, I live here. And I said, I think I've been here a little longer than you. And
did
I guess,
you hold the door for you, or did you use your key to get in?
I had my fob.
So you and got in still, on your own.
Yeah, and so this was on, we were on the elevator, and she was like, well, hold on, where are you going? And I was like, I'm getting on the elevator.
Oh.
And that's when things started to escalate. So my issue was, if a guy comes in, and he's got two dogs, and he's getting on the elevator, wouldn't you kind of think he kind of knows where he's going?
Yeah, most people seeking to cause trouble don't bring their dogs.
Right, yeah. If I'm going to rob somebody, I'm going to leave the dogs with the car at least.
That's kind of completely different than the other case, though. Now, I'm not clear. Did the other fella who was let in by her because she had kept the door open, did he have a key to get in to show her, or does he just walk in and saying, I live here?
It seemed to me that he was coming in at the same time she was going out to walk her dog. Like, she was leaving and he was coming in. So they just happened to pass, and then she starts asking him 50 questions and he didn't want to answer.
And do you know, Michael, did the landlord actually have a memo to the tenants saying don't let people in?
Well, you know, it had been discussed. It's a great building. I mean, there are a lot of good people who live there, but there had been some security concerns because of its proximity. There's a lot of other areas around there that sometimes breed people who aren't part of the neighborhood per se. And I think there was some concerns. There had been a couple of muggings and some cars had been broken into. So people were just being a little bit more vigilant about their surrounding. But in this case, I think she took it too far.
I think she took it way too far. But truth be told, here at KMOX, we've had the memo, don't let people in. You know, because we've had numerous break-ins in the parking lot, a rash of car break-ins, and people say, you know, don't hold the door open for people who are strangers.
All right, we have to take another break. KMOX News Time is 8:48, round three of OT after this.
This is Overtime.
Don't you understand? We can't stop ourselves.
News Radio 1120 KMOX.
.8 51, round three of Overtime. I'm Debbie Monterey, Mike Claiborne, Charlie Brennan. We've been talking about crime constantly, pretty much, and St. Louis Public Safety Director Jimmy Edwards wants more prison time for gun crimes. He says he'll ask the Missouri legislature to raise the minimum mandatory sentence for armed criminal action from the current level of 3 years to 15 to 25 years. However, UMSL criminologist and gang expert Beth Huebner is weighing in. She says armed criminals are more worried about other criminals with guns than getting caught and going to prison. And she says a warning, we all ignore warnings and don't think they apply to us. Charlie, do you think increasing the minimum mandatory sentence is the way to go, or does Huebner have a point?
Well, in New York, the gun laws are stricter than here, and they seem to be doing better. I'm sure there's a variety of reasons for the lower crime in New York City compared to St. Louis, for example. But, you know, Jimmy Edwards, the public safety director, is also a man who sat on the bench, and he saw this firsthand. So with all due respect to Professor Huebner, this guy has, you know, actually been boots on the ground and right there in front of those who are accused and convicted. So I kind of trust what he has to say on this matter.
I think that first offenders, you're going to start at 3 years. And I think if you're a second offender, then adios. I think that one of the problems that you would see, and I'm sure Judge Edwards would attest to this, the repeat offenders who continue to be here because they get off the hook from some legal formality and they continue to find their way back in front of a judge. So the first offense, who knows? Second offense and beyond, see you later.
How about the guys out in the county, six of them who used what looked like assault weapons.
Right, yeah.
And they got 6 months probation. You know, what kind of message does that send?
And that's the wrong message. I mean, obviously we have too many guns on the street. And there is a point where the criminals are shooting at the criminals and some of the civilians get involved as well. But overall, you've got to make sure the repeat offender doesn't continue to skirt the system and not have a fear of having a gun.
All right, let's talk about getting from St. Louis to Kansas City in a snap. Backers of the 250-mile Hyperloop between Kansas City and St. Louis say the project is feasible, but you'll have to take their word for it. The actual study wasn't released, with Virgin Hyperloop citing concern about intellectual property theft. The backers say the $10 billion cost would be a bargain. Do you think this is a viable project, Mike Claiborne? Have you followed Hyperloop?
Yeah, I'm intrigued
cool.
by it. Yeah. I'm just trying to think what would inspire me to get to Kansas City that quick. And I love Kansas City. It's a great town. I think they passed St. Louis as far as I'm concerned. But when you think about something that's going to be that costly, it's got to have something else that you can offer to another metropolitan area of some sort. Maybe if it's a bigger city, there's a commute somewhere for people who live here and want to go there. I mean, there's some things you have to look at. I just don't know if St. Louis, Kansas City wets my whistle enough to make that sort of investment. But I do agree, $10 billion might be a bargain compared to where it could head. Or do we wait on technology to become better and less expensive?
$10 billion a bargain? Yeah, of course. And, you know, there's no greater need now than getting to Kansas City in 28 minutes or for Kansas Cityans to get here, because the plane ride at an hour is way too long. Who can do that? Plus, we've taken care of all of our other social problems and we've got the money. So, you know, what are we waiting for?
Well, once we pass the gas tax, we'll just funnel it into Hyperloop.
Yeah. Once we figure out what the gas tax is, though, right?
Well, that's an issue as well. All right, real quickly, another restaurant calling it quits. This time in Lafayette Square, Element Restaurant and Lounge closing October 28th. We had Coffee Cartel shut down in the Central West End yesterday. Cardwell's on the Plaza is going to close at the end of the year. Kimmel's moving out of downtown for Westport. Is this a sign of the volatile restaurant business, Charlie, or do you think it's something else?
I don't know. Hard to say, because, you know, I'm sorry to say I never got to Element. I'm really sorry I didn't. My loss, I'm sure. When did they close? This weekend? Or
I think next weekend.
Oh, so I have some time to get there. Well, you know, there is, of course, you know, normal turnover in the restaurant business. You might say it's tough to do business in St. Louis, but you go to lunch at Chris's Docket across the street, it's a 40-minute wait. Yesterday they were jammed. They're always jammed. So some businesses do well and others not so much.
Restaurant business is very competitive and very hard to survive. And I think it's just a correction, I think, more than anything else.
All right. Thanks, Mike Claiborne, for joining us on Overtime.
It was a treat.
It's 8:56.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s. And each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with autopay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without autopay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.